were at the Food Not Bombs Action for Peace Sunday, April 15th rally, talking with David Ridley. David, I see I'm interrupting your meal, but if you want, tell me, you went to city council recently, you were concerned about one issue, but there was also a second issue, which we talked about earlier, concerning abusive behavior by Dominican Hospital, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, they, Dina, my partner, she had a rack, and she got knocked out on the side of the road, so somebody called the ambulance came, they picked her up, she ended up, they took her to the hospital, she was pretty banged up, and then they didn't get her a ride back down to the east side, they just let her walk all the way back with her bike, and I thought that was just horrendously bad, you know, head injury is no joke.
How is she doing now?
Oh, she healed up really fast. It's incredible.
Wow. So, you also said you spoke to the Santa Cruz City Council?
Yeah, I was threatened. I was told by the police. I was juggling on the beach, and I was told up by the police that I couldn't juggle any place except Pacific Street in the four little corners, in the places that they have designated. So I went to the city council to let them know that I'm working very, very hard, and I cannot follow that ordinance. I have to make money. I have to go where people are.
And actually, it's quite legal to juggle anywhere in Santa Cruz. It's ironically only on Pacific Avenue and the adjacent streets, and perhaps down on the wharf at certain points, although they don't have quite the same regulation system down there, I think, that they do on Pacific. I'm familiar with the downtown area, where if you're outside the downtown area, provided you don't set up a display device, which is a cup, an open guitar case, a table, something, quote, capable of holding tangible things, if you set up those devices, you have to be 14 feet from a building, a kiosk, a fence, a crosswalk, a whole bunch of things, which eliminates most of the Pacific Avenue area and also other areas in business districts. But elsewhere in the city or even in other business districts, provided you are at that 14-foot distance, you can not only juggle, you can juggle anywhere you want, provided you don't have a display device up there, which means a way of getting money that is set on public property. I mean, you can actually deal with that by, having a little cup attached to your clothing. And if people are, you know, courageous enough to come near enough to stuff some money in your cup, I would think that's legal. Like, I think that's by the wording of the ordinance that's legal. All of this, of course, was created by the city to denude the area of street culture, which I think merchants find to be repugnant unless they can closely and tightly control it. Anyway, let's hear more from our juggler friend, who you'll hear me talking about his near arrest by Sergeant Eveleth. I guess it was a year or two ago, at which point Tom Noddy, the bubble man, came out of retirement, or actually he's not really in retirement, but he's usually busy doing other things elsewhere in the world. He juggles over in Europe and so forth. But he's also part of a street performers group concerned with the rights of street performers, as am I. And so if you have street performer problems, let us know, and we will certainly grunt and growl and maybe do something about it. You never can tell.
And, but they were very responsive. City council member came up, gave me his card. If I have any problems, I'm supposed to call them directly. And they said thank you for bringing it to their attention, and it's not against the law for me to juggle on the beach. So it all turns out really good.
So you haven't been hassled further?
No.
And you continue to juggle where they told you you shouldn't juggle?
Yes. I'm stubborn. I'm a stubborn man.
I'm going to have to keep an eye on you, too. We've been talking with
David Ridley.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Well, I better interview you on this. We're talking with
Sherry Cherie.
I'm sure you've shown up here with card in hand, bag, and of course some food and a coat, not to mention two water bottles, and you're eventually headed for City Hall tonight.
Right. And I'm hoping that friends of mine from the Salvation Army and people that I just spoke to yesterday will come out and sleep at, I'm renaming it the Hallelujah Survival Camp, or Camp Sit and Kick It, because we have to sit, we have to be somewhere, we have to exist. We can't afford the apartments, we can't afford motels, and we have to exist. We can't die. We can't die because half of us are broken and falling apart. We can't die, we have to exist. So the city council needs to make room for us, and the police need to make room too.
Tonight is, of course, there's no winter shelter program as there was last night and for the previous 4 or 5 months, right?
Right.
And so
it's up to, are people gonna stand up for each other, and together as a group we could be stronger, and it would be a safer environment for me. I would like it better. So it depends on the people, you know, it depends on people. You can't rely on anyone but yourself.
Now, why City Hall, when the first thing you'll be told by the police officers if they show up is, I'm imagining, is they'll say to you, hey, this area is closed at night, you can't be here.
I'm just looking at the stars and the serenity of City Hall, and I'm just taking a rest right now, and I think that if you keep a spot open, you can walk by, that why couldn't you rest here? It's so beautiful. I love looking at it.
But Sheree, it's raining. The rain is coming down hard. You're getting all wet.
Well, what are my options?
Well,
Did someone on the Huff committee's house, or am I going to call up lost relatives, or shall I call up my bank, or
your bank? An excellent thing. That's where the money is.
Yeah. How about Ghostbusters?
No.
Ghostbusters. I hadn't thought about them.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. You know, all I know is I'm up a creek without a paddle, and so I decided Plan Q is the one for me, and I'm just going to jump on the, stay over there and be peaceful, get along. If people want to fight, they can go over there and talk with their friend about whatever is the problem.
If anyone actually shows up to fight over.
If they show up. If they don't, then I'll probably go somewhere else that I feel safer.
And you have a phone that's all charged and ready to...
No, my phone is on low battery, and I don't have a charging system in my mind.
Well, you always give me a charge. Get out of here.
Into the microphone. Here's the charge.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Is it charge? I don't know where that one.
I need the charge.
Now, stop fondling my microphone, for heaven's sake. So, I will try to call you by phone later in the hopes that you have some battery left to see what's going on.
Yeah, I hope so, and I hope that I survive the night, and people get to sleep there together. As I said, the younger people should go get cardboard from the St. George over there, and that way we can have some protection from the sidewalk. But I have to sleep somewhere, and my son just told me off I had the wrong person give me a ride from church, so, you know, he wants me to avoid half the people.
Never get a ride with the wrong person, that's
never,
my advice.
Never be bossed around by anyone. You know, so I hope that the police will, if they come, will see our point that we need somewhere to be. We're sleep deprived. We've been for months. We've had carbohydrates, no vegetables, and sleep deprived. And you have to hurry and eat breakfast and hurry.
So do you intend to make a speech to these folks, harangue the people, and urge them to come with you?
I intend to go to bed. Sleep
right now before this group. There are people here.
No, you're going to do that, aren't you?
Actually, I would introduce you, because you're you're the one who's going to be sleeping overnight, at least initially.
Well, I want to invite, I don't know, I feel, it feels...
As an organizer, you're a well-known, notorious...
You should do it.
Hey, you're the one who slept at City Hall. I go in, take a look, interview a few people, and disappear.
I'm pretty shy. I don't really want to invite 300 people I don't know over to... But maybe you could do it, or have Gloria do it.
Gloria, too, probably rather shy. The problem is, yeah, it takes the people who are...
I don't know you, but, like, how about...
We'll see how it goes.
...in the world, come over for key.
And we have been talking with...
Sherry Cherie.
Good luck with this, Sherry Cherie.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get the nerve. He'll do it. He's a loudmouth. He'll do it. Ask him.
Are you?
Well,
no,
yeah. Oh, no.
He refuses. Thank you, Cherie.
And actually, we've got... that night, I went over to check in on Cherie, who did not give me a call that evening, but did give me an account some days later when she came to the Huff meeting on Wednesday. Huff, for those who just tuned in, is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, an increasingly small group of activists who are still at least talking active and sometimes acting active. She pointed out, you'll hear about this from her directly, may not be able to play it today. I don't think I necessarily have time, but Chief Andy Mills actually came and spoke to her personally at City Hall, urging her to go to the River Street campground where he would personally find her a place. I guess jumping the waiting list line, which I actually wrote him a letter thanking him for his concern, although I don't know how the bunch of people who feel are on the waiting list feel about that. She is elderly and disabled and mobility challenged, and she's a slow moving but tough old bird, but so maybe she has the right to that kind of priority. I don't know, but I believe she's tonight, however, I believe she's indoors. She was able to get into a motel room for a couple of nights. And she actually talks about that in another interview, which I won't have time to play today, but perhaps Sunday. Let's hear some more from the Sunday Food Not Bombs meal / peace rally.
With a man who actually I met some years ago. What's your name, sir?
Bill Lebon.
And Bill... we've spoken over the years on a number of issues, but apparently your associate here suggests that there's something that maybe came up recently you might want to bring to the attention of the community. Assuming we can get past the siren.
I'm sick and tired of all this killing over oil.
So if we're talking about the bombing of Syria, but that's to punish those evil Assadites for their chemical warfare. Surely you don't believe in chemical weaponry.
It's all a result of George Bush's invasion of the Middle East to control the oil resources.
What about Clinton's attack on Kosovo and, I don't know, Carter's creating Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan?
Sure, they're all part of it, but it's all about oil.
Or other resources, perhaps, too?
I mean, Afghanistan has some valuable minerals, but the main reason for Afghanistan was an oil pipeline they wanted to put through there. So it's mostly about oil. There's about $200 trillion worth of oil in the Middle East. Dick Cheney called it the greatest material prize on the planet.
Now, you take it...
$200 trillion with a T.
It's a number that defies understanding for me. It's huge. I don't even know what it means, but I mean, I know what it means mathematically. But so you're here to protest, but you said... At least I was told that something had happened to you en route to this protest, or in the last few days, or there's hand signals here from this person to your right.
I took a group of people up to Sonoma County to ride the train and ride the trail.
Right.
Up in Sonoma County, they have a rail and a trail.
Gotcha.
And it's wonderful. It's called the Smart Train.
Right.
And it's a nice, smooth, quiet train. They have a cafe on board with beer and wine, and a beautiful bike trail right next door to it. And it's wonderful, and flies by all the people stuck in gridlock. It's awesome, and I encourage everybody in Santa Cruz to go and check it out.
This hardly classifies as a tale of abuse and harassment. Carl Brune, you're the individual who, in fact, looks like this.
Oh, well.
So apparently the
powers that be that were hired to ward off all the threats around the river, and that's near, you know, down about past where the camp is, you know.
You're in Santa Cruz.
San Lorenzo. Along there, there's there's security guards that are paid to watch and harass people, even coming to visit people that live there, near there. And then the ones, you know, because of this camp that they put down the road at on River Street.
River Street Campground.
There's more attention to people that just happen to be coming to visit. And I've posed no threat, so...
Have you seen this recently? Because I know you live nearby at the tannery.
Well, she lives at the tannery, and I came by to visit her.
Right.
And they harassed me for just pulling into the parking lot and waiting for her.
And how many... give me some more details about how this happened. Was it one individual or 16 individuals?
Just one of these rent-a-cops that, you know, just harassing anybody on the property.
And what did you say to them?
And, you know, they're like, who's your ID? Well, who's you with? Well, how can you prove that? If you can't prove that you're here to visit someone, you have to leave immediately, you know, and...
Did you present your ID and your proof of all this, Bill?
No, I told her she's harassing me. I'm here visiting my friend, and I don't have to be interrogated like I'm a criminal.
To which your response was?
I'm just doing my job.
Do it somewhere else, perhaps, was your
thought. And I told her she's doing her job too well. Needs to dial it down, you know, take it down just a notch. You know?
Did she learn from your lesson?
She eventually apologized, yeah. She did. I gave her a pretty strong tongue lashing, and she eventually apologized.
To me? To me, possibly.
I wouldn't talk to her anymore.
Oh.
I refused to speak with her.
You gave her the cold shoulder.
Yes, I did.
She gave you the hot tongue.
I was trying to teach her a lesson, yeah.
I hope that you were successful, but somehow I doubt you probably were, much as you tried.
I tried. Gotta try. We gotta stand up for our rights to visit our friends.
Damn right.
Reminds me of when I was down at City Hall and I got harassed by one of those hired guns, too, which they don't even have.
Dig it. And we've been talking with
Bill
and
Cork.
Thank you both.
I want to pick up the Supreme Court case from 1925. The left-wing manifesto that they have for criminal anarchy, which is basically to plot to violate or encourage. I got all this paperwork. Don't really talk about this.
I understand. We're talking with.
We're talking with a crazy motherfucker, man, put a bullet in her head, put you in a hollow rib and stuff, put a big black rock on you.
Peeling an orange at the time.
Yeah, right? I could peel skulls too.
Well, so let me ask you, did you. You said you were in jail for a period of time. Do you want to talk about that?
You want me to give you a whole full briefing on that shit? Let me come see like Wednesday or something.
I'm around, sure. I catch you when I do.
I got all that fucking shit from fucking, let's say, from therapeutic jurisprudence to fucking minimalist fucking goddamn retributivism. I got fucking hedonistic utilitarianism.
I'm a little lost.
I got a lot of terms. No, you got to understand what they mean. This is a lot of Black's Law Dictionary.
Well, that's... I hear you. All right, so we'll try to catch you at another point, and thank you, man.
Yeah, we will, Robert.
All right.
Fuck the law before law fucking.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Ryan Scott Elliott.
And Ryan, you say you plan to bunk down here at the post office tonight.
Yes, sir, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
And have you been outside for a while?
Quite a while. Years.
And here in Santa Cruz?
Here in Santa Cruz, a little more than a month.
What's your perspective on Santa Cruz?
It's a beautiful place. The people here, they really hate the war. They really hate us being in the war and, you know, generally killing poor people altogether. And, you know, that's something, if you can't get behind it, I wouldn't suggest getting in front of it.
But they apparently want to kill their own poor people by making them all criminals.
They do. There is an anti-poor sentiment that runs pretty deep. It's pretty much a criminalization of, you know, humanity. Don't sleep. Don't you dare try to eat. And if you're poor, you know, we want to watch you die and make sure you got to march up a lot of hills. And if you think you're going to get to services day in and day out, forget about it. They're going to be closed most of the days you get there. We're going to cut the funding out from underneath it, and if you don't have an ID, then hey, you know, you're pretty much free reign to be victimized by a gang of criminals who wear badges.
So, what's happened to you in the last few days do you think deserves note, if anything?
They've been nice, you know, they've had my mental health resource officer show up to make sure that I'm not being harassed too much by the police when I'm being harassed by the police.
Do you have a permanent camping spot?
No, I pretty much, I'll sleep wherever I like, you know.
And have you been told you can't sleep here by any of these people?
Certainly, certainly. At the schools and a lot of other places, any parking garage, you know, it's fine to leave your car there all day, but it's not fine to leave yourself if you wouldn't gas anyone else's children to get around. Apparently that's an issue.
Yeah, well now, tonight it's likely to rain, they tell me, Flyer. And what do you intend to do to shield yourself from the moisture?
Whatever I have to, including, you know, maybe we'll just break right in the front of the post office and sleep in there, you know. I mean, I'm not really worried about it.
Anything else happen that you want to comment on?
Let's see. Trump, I notice, is not in North Korea yet. I mean, we have the opportunity for a standing president to discuss denuclearizing the entire Korean Peninsula. And what is the guy doing? Not doing it? Get out of here, dude. You're fucking fired, you know?
Just to meet in May with the North Korean Führer, Il-jun, or whatever his name is.
I would have already been there kissing babies and shaking hands. It wouldn't have taken an offer, and I wouldn't have gone calling the guy names first, because it's just undiplomatic. Makes us look like, you know...
Yeah, but it makes him look tough. Come on, you gotta be tough in this business, you know?
You gotta be tough in the business, but, you know, you gotta handle it the right way. It's about the approach and the delivery, and it's just all wrong. Quite frankly, you know, I'm 33, obviously not eligible for the job, but last I checked in the honor-based system, once you killed the guy on top, you just took his job. So, looks like there's an open desk job for me if I
want. I won't be reporting you to the Secret Service, at least... Not for a while, but we've got our eye on you. We've been talking with, if you want to say.
Oh, for sure. Ryan Scott Elliott. My pleasure.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
There comes a time in everyone's life when they choose stasis or they choose to grow, to be open to new views and experiences, and challenge what they think they know. We don't live in a black and white world, and sexuality exists in the gray. You can't define those roles so rigidly by saying someone's totally straight or totally gay. 'Cause people are just people, and love today is omnisexual. God, I love this new side of me as a modern heteroflexible. So with the help of a lot of booze, I find a girl and we make out. And it feels the same as kissing a guy, so I don't see what all the fuss is about. We keep hooking up and it feels so good, and with my new broad outlook firmly in place, I've come so far, it feels so right. There's a vagina in my face and I'm all...
Ew! Don't wanna do it!
Holy shit, I didn't expect that adenoid to react that way. I was repelled like negatively charged ions in a magnetic field, or like I got pricked by a thorn. I'm Cinderella and it's midnight and my coach turned into a woman. I haven't been that close to a vagina since I was born. I thought I understood what was up down there, but it's just so human when you see it up close. It's a messy, visible, secreting organ. Real woman genitals are kind of gross. I thought it'd be smooth and non-threatening or non-existent like Barbie's. Instead, it looks like a half-eaten beef and cheddar in the garbage can at Arby's. It's wrinkly and flappy and uneven and messy and kind of pink, but also kind of brown, with a super aggressive tongue-like hole and a hooded triangle protruding skin mound. It's like a weather-beaten deflated football or decomposing bloody pear or a toothless mouth with gum-rotten yeast that's salivating and covered in hair. I knew it smelled weird, but this is extreme, like old French dressing in a salad bar or expired banana Activia or dead rotting turtle you left in your car. It reminds me of the smell of my grandma's house or guinea pig with bacterial disease wafting from a jar of formaldehyde or fresh SpaghettiOs and warm blue cheese. Oh God, I can't believe I said that. That was insensitive and immature. I swear I'm not homophobic or anti-woman, just caught off guard for sure. The female anatomy is divine and perfect and should be eternally celebrated and revered for its role as a beautiful vessel wherein all life is created. And when I think about it, I'm all...
Ew!
I'm sorry for the confusion, ma'am. I guess I'm not that evolved, and my illusions of bisexuality just instantly dissolved. I mourn the cool new life I'd envisioned where love renders gender preference obsolete, 'cause when I looked a vagina in the eye, I made a hasty, ungraceful retreat. So my sad but definite conclusion is that my mouth is for food and penises only, but I'm happy so many people like it down there. Otherwise I'd be really lonely. And I can't believe I have one of those. Ew.
That was The Old College Try, another one from Secretions by Garfunkel and Oates, to Food Not Bombs last Sunday. Thanks, Riley.
Talking with
Larry.
course. Sorry, Larry. You tell me and I remember. You just got out of the winter shelter program. You're going to be kind of assessing your situation on the street in the next few days. But you say the shelter program generally pretty good, except...
Well, it's just the timing, like all the shelters. You got to get out in the morning, you know.
Five in the morning.
Well, it's nice to get up in the morning. Isn't that wonderful?
Well,
it is.
No, too early.
I hear you. Were you also part of the program, or...?
Well, I've been in their sleepover, and 5 in the morning is just too early.
So you decided not to use the winter shelter program?
I still do, but 6 o'clock would be a good time to wake up.
I agree. Maybe using 7 might be better.
No. She wants to speak with me.
All righty, I'll go talk to her. So Sherry is a woman who's doing this sleep out at City Hall tonight because...
Just because it appears it may get some rain, I don't want to get wet.
Under the eaves of City Hall, perhaps, where you're sure to be hassled by the police?
Well, yeah, that's where you're sure to be hassled by the police.
But again, will they do it in the rain? That's an interesting question. I don't know. Well, they might.
I don't. That's a good question. It is.
And it might be better to be in a group than alone, or it might not. It might be more prominent. Hard to say. Any other thoughts?
We'll see. Well, if I have a problem finding a place, I may head over there, yeah.
I'll tell her that, and there is a slim chance you may make your way over there.
Yeah, okay.
We've been talking with...
Right, Larry.
Thank you, Larry. So we have the raging grannies who refused me the opportunity to sing with them.
E-I, oh my God, Crazy Donald had a dream. E-I, oh my God, smash Obama's health care scheme. E-I, oh my God, with a sick boy there and a sick girl there. Here a pang, there a gasp, everywhere a cough, cough. Crazy Donald had a dream. E-I, oh my God, Crazy Donald made some pacts. E-I, oh my God, he make up all new, brand new facts. E-I, oh my God, with a falsehood here and a falsehood there. Here a lie, there a lie, everywhere a lie, lie. Crazy Donald drove us nuts. E-I, oh my God, Crazy Donald locked the gates. E-I, oh my God, through their kindly welfare states. E-I, oh my God, they didn't count on the pussy cats with their
dog hit steps in their pussy hats.
Donald had to abdicate. E-I-O, thank God.
All right. Keep it up. Keep up the good singing. What's your name, sir?
Alan Fisher.
And Alan, I recall you from some criminal background back in Capitola in 2003 or 2002. Are you here to repeat your criminal career? And if so, why aren't you at the Capitola recording station?
Since when has going and protesting illegal, unconstitutional invasions been a crime?
Since always.
Okay.
I mean, in Santa Cruz, it's illegal to stand outside City Hall at night. You know about that, right?
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, no, I wish there were more people here, but I guess we should be in Oakland, maybe. But
you got to bring Oakland to Santa Cruz.
But, yeah, I have to say, it's exhausting. It's like, here's a story. My parents in the 60s were refusing the war taxes, the federal taxes. They didn't have much money, but they were, and they had actually put their car was owned by someone else, but the FBI didn't know that, so they called them into court for refusing their taxes, and they took me out of the car. I was in a little baby thing in the front seat, and they put me out on the sidewalk so they could take the car.
Child abandonment?
Yeah, until our lawyer came out and told my parents to get out and get their car. Kid.
Now, you have children yourself?
No.
Thank goodness. you were involved in 2002, 2003 with the Bush invasion. What about the Occupy movement? Were you involved in that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to say I did more. I was more peripheral, but I think it was very inspiring. I think especially shutting down the ports. I mean, if we could sustain something like that, of like, we're you know, really going to have a...
Were you in the building at 75 River Street, mister?
No.
I should hope not, for heaven's sake. You shouldn't even be talking to people who were accused of that.
Yeah, well...
So, here you are again. What we've got here, of course, are some old faces, some hungry faces, some raging grannies, and, of course, a rainstorm in the end of the winter shelter program. What's your assessment?
My assessment is we're pretty much, I couldn't say it's that calm, but I feel like we're in the calm before the storm. I think we need to get ready and try to stay organized, because so much stuff's going to be coming down. We're going to need to, there'll be a lot of people waking up very fast, and we need to be ready to, like, try to be on our feet ourselves so we can help organize people to actually do something productive.
You don't look much different than you did, what, 16 years ago? Do you feel much different?
Yeah, exhausted.
Really?
I'm surviving this whole insanity.
I often feel exhausted. Right now, I guess I get more energized by these kinds of encounters, so it's...
Yeah. No, it isn't. It is. It is uplifting to be around people who have a conscience and care about community instead of greed.
And the right or the left ideas.
What?
The left ideas.
Yeah, what's left? The good ones.
Well, by which I mean, well. And we've been talking with...
Alan Fisher, yeah.
Also known as... You used to have another name in the old...
I go by Bearheart in some circles.
Okay. Any other names for your FBI folder?
Yeah, well, I have no idea what they decide to put on there.
I'll have to take a peek and talk to my controller once I get back to...
You know, they do so many smear campaigns and make up so many stories about people. But, yeah, no,
Wait a minute, the FBI, the Democrats tell us, is the salvation because of their attacks on Fuhrer Trump. Don't you trust your FBI?
The Fascist Bureau of Intimidation.
What kind of language is that?
Well, yeah. No, I guess in a way it's good they have their infighting, but it's a distraction, really.
The FBI and the CIA have assured us that they're the ones that are going to help our friends, the Democrats, get back in power.
They use us just like they do the elections in all these countries. They use everybody, get all the poor people and the slaves and everybody to fight for them, and then they just turn it over to the maybe a less, slightly less extreme oligarchy, but it becomes the same group of rulers.
Surely a cynical view of our Central Intelligence Agency and its friends over in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Again, we've been talking with...
Alan.
Thanks. Go to martial law plans.
This I made 20 years ago when they were doing their Urban Shield type martial law exercises down in Monterey.
And they're still doing their martial
law. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Probably better funded than before.
But, right? Yes, unfortunately. But, they're ready to crack down. It's just that we got to remember that the reason we have some of the freedoms we have now has nothing to do with how benevolent the government is. It has to do with our own, our activists who have been struggling and keeping that space open.
I tend to agree. Thank you.
The library, leave it alone. In the heart of our city, it's the brains and the blood and the bone.
In the parking
generations of readers have found there the words of the wise. So hands off our library, hands off you guys. Plato and Sophocles, Austin and Twain, Salinger and Vonnegut, be still and you'll hear their refrain. Oh, hands off our library, leave it alone. In the heart of our city, it's the brains and the blood and the bone. Generations of readers have found there the words of the wise.
you guys. Hands off our library. Hands off you guys.
What about the poor cars? They need a parking structure.
And of course, that is a song by the Raging Grannies, or the Raging Granny plus Volunteer Grannies, which is concerned with the issue that Martine Bernal, the city manager, and a certain group of his associates is pushing to move the current library into a essentially the basement of a five-story parking structure, which on the basis of a using money from beef up the library fund and claiming that this is being done after public hearings, which actually either have only been partially held, but also have indicated that that's not what the people particularly want who've come to the public hearings. I've got to be cautious of what I say here because I didn't attend the public hearings and I haven't really interviewed many of the people involved, but it doesn't look good, folks, and it's coming up fast.
And there you have it.
Here's another one.
Thank you.
I missed you on the radio, man.
It's still there.
Yeah, here's the car with all the time.
All right, yeah, man, because I miss, you know, going
it's
on.
Wet. This is your fault.
Find out what we're doing.
That's the rain.
Yes.
Look at this. I'm supposed to put it on the wall.
Yes, and that could be a criminal offense.
And it looks like this isn't really part of the actual interviews, but a machine that was inadvertently left on. Let's hear a farewell song, and then I will say see you later until maybe Sunday if I can get something out. It's mostly going to be, I think, a flashback on Sunday, but hey, get ready to get a little flashy and perhaps travel with me to yesteryear yet again, and compare it with, sadly, the current state of affairs, which may be worse rather than better. Maybe you can enjoy the vacation in the past. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Because we coexist in a mutually unstated, unattached cohesion that Facebook created. So I got 10 seconds and they're just for you, to write on your wall like good people do. To keep our weak social tie with minimal maintenance, happy birthday to my loose acquaintance. Look through my photo album, you're not in it. If I saw you on the street, it would take me a minute. But I'm such a thoughtful person and I totally care. That's why there are 3 exclamation points there. Colon parentheses to be more compelling. All caps so it's just like I'm yelling. From the top of my heart, just to keep status quo. Happy birthday, dear person who I sort of know. We both know you're not my real friend. You're a byproduct of a social networking trend. But you feel just as indifferently about me. So there's no guilt in our apathetic reciprocity. So if we don't talk much for it all this year, remember I sent you this afterthought cheer. To keep our minor affinity with minimal maintenance, happy birthday to my loose acquaintance.